Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is a show upon which I interview people that society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. The Ophelia says in Hamlet, "We know who we are, but not what we will be." And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, hence the butterfly on my logo. In life, the caterpillar has to completely dissolve into its cells and then reform into the butterfly. And then, if that's not difficult enough, it has to fight its way in order to make its wings strong enough to fly. And so while that is no easy task, neither is busting through those limits that society has placed upon a person. And today, I am excited to have Mr. Greg Garrick on the show. I found out about him just a couple of weeks ago, actually, on a LinkedIn post that I will share the post a little bit later in the show. And I immediately reached out to him and I said, "Oh my gosh, this is such a great example of hashtag no limits. Would you want to talk to me and be on my show?" And so, Greg, thank you for taking this random person's inquiry in LinkedIn and accepting my friendship and coming on today. How are you?
Good. You're more than welcome. I was interested to hear your intro because I'm a marketer, all about logos. So great story about the caterpillar and the butterfly.
Oh, good. Maybe we need to work off camera a little bit and you can help me even hone that a little bit more.
We could bring that butterfly a little more sex appeal.
Yeah. There you go. So Greg, tell us about yourself and about your family.
So number one, it's really hard for me to talk about myself. I talk about others all the time. But like I said, I'm in marketing. I am the chief marketing officer for a real estate investment company here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I've lived with my family all over the country. We've moved here recently from Houston. Before that, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and for that, New York and many other places.
Wow, you have been around.
Yeah. I have four children. My two oldest are girls, and they're married. And I now have two grandsons. They were both born just months ago.
One month apart.
So
congratulations.
With a growing family. And then I have two boys, Kobe, who is serving a mission for our church right now. And he's coming home from it in early May. And then Jackson, who we'll be talking about, who is our special needs son. He's the glue.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So thank you. Take a second, take a breath. So thank you for that introduction. And I always forget this part because it's the businessy side of things. And I like to just get in and start talking to my guests. But if you are watching with us live, please let us know. Give us a hashtag live and where you're watching from. And if you're watching this in the replay, give us a hashtag replay and where you watched it from. And also, if you have any questions or comments for Greg at all during the show, make sure that you put them in the chats and I will be able to share those with him. All right. So, yes.
So easy, too.
It does. Yeah. And StreamYard is great. That's the platform that I use. And I can very easily pop the comment into our screen and you'll be able to see it. So, all right. So yes, Jackson is the video that I saw that I reached out to you. And so tell us about Jackson.
So Jackson is 17 years old. He is what people call a 3-point specialist. So starting at age 8, we got him involved in Special Olympics because it was brought to our attention in Houston. We never really thought much about it. But let me tell you a little bit before that. Before he got the title of 3-point specialist. When Jackson was born, there was nothing that I wanted to do more than play basketball with my son, like I had with my older son, Kobe. And he's named Kobe for a reason. I love basketball.
Okay.
And Jackson's actually named after Phil Jackson, in my opinion. My wife might disagree.
But she's not on here, so you get to go with it.
It's Kobe and Jackson. And if I had my druthers, his name would have been Shaq. But that's what I wanted. But anyway, so Jackson, I wanted to play basketball with him. That was my greatest desire, like I did with Kobe. and Kobe wanted to play with Jackson too. So when Jackson was born, he came out, you know, with the cord wrapped around his neck. He was blue, and the doctors and nurses quickly brushed him off. This is our fourth child, so Nikki, my wife, we were alarmed, but not overly so, because very quickly we heard him crying, and that's all we were worried about. You know, day later, we got the APGAR scores, and they said they were lower than normal, but nobody was telling us anything. Sometime in that first 18 months, we got the diagnosis that Jackson has something called low muscle tone, and that was it. And I think they unleashed on us at that time a bunch of therapists, so occupational, physical, and speech, and they started, it was a revolving door through our home in New York.
Right.
They were always there, and that was great. And Jackson was slow to walk and to talk as compared to the rest of us. So that was all we ever noticed, really, right? And that he probably didn't engage as well as the other. But we didn't know much, and we went through the therapy. And he eventually walked and did talk. You know, he has this an odd gait about him. His hips are a little off. He at the age of five, we got the diagnosis of hypotonic cerebral palsy with intellectual disability, intellectual and developmental disability. And they actually showed us his brain scan and why they thought.
Wow.
And so we didn't know much. You know, at that time, I'm rolling balls to Jackson. We had a little basketball court in the basement. We'd shoot and he'd have fun. I'd help him dunk. And he always, ever since I can remember, he always had perfect form shooting. Just like I tell my other son, Kobe, if you were as good as Jackson, you'd be playing major college ball right now. He's just perfect. And that has maintained. And so he's always had that perfect form. So anyways, we enroll him in special ed at the kindergarten level. And he had a teacher. Her name was Kathy Byrne. And we'll never forget her. So prior to all that, with all these therapists and doctor visits that we're having, I always came at it like this. I said, what will Jackson be? What can he become? That was what was bothering me. And I know that's a question a lot of people have. I thought I felt alone at the time, but now talking to other people, because of this video you'll show, it's a question everybody has. It's reaching out to me. And I said, what will he be? And she turned it on me. She said, what do you want him to be?
Oh. And
I know. And it's hard to get me off guard. I got emotional like I am. And I said, I just want to play basketball with Jack. She said, good to know. Ended the meeting. Sent me packing.
Wow.
You don't want to talk to the sorry sack of tears. And so we left, and I didn't think much of it, you know, except the question she asked me. And a week or two later, I come to find out she takes time with a physical therapist at the school, and they have a dedicated hour or two a day teaching him to shoot free throws.
Oh, wow.
He comes home to our basketball hoop, and he's shooting free throws. Later that year, he's competing against the regular gen ed kids in free throw shooting contests and becoming a fan favorite, as you can imagine. So that's where it all started. And that gave us the confidence to enroll him in some upward, you know, basketball programs that there were in the area later on, probably at age 6 and 7. And those with general ed kids at the time, and those kids and those coaches were great with him. There's been so many people along our path that have helped Jackson, and they would help set picks and get him opportunities to get a shot off because he's a little slower than the rest. And he would have great moments of triumph hitting long jump shots. That's where it started. And so in him, that's how he identified that he was special.
Okay.
And so he spends hours. When we lived in Houston, I built a court for my sons in the backyard, a very nice basketball court. And Jackson would spend in the Houston humidity and heat 5 to 6 hours a day shooting after school, or even sometimes before school, and at night. And he would just shoot, perfecting that perfect form. and he has it now. And so you'll see in this video, when he shoots a half-court jump shot, if I were to do that, and I'm a good basketball player, I'm just old now, I would lunge into it and use my legs. He shoots just with the power of his core and his arms.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. So while we're talking about that point, I think I'm going to go ahead and show the video now. Let me just pull it up here really quickly. Okay. Make sure the audio is on. Okay. So before it starts, go ahead and kind of set up the video for us.
Okay, so he's at the Liberty Lake Athletic Club, which he goes to every day for at least an hour a day, and literally nothing's stopping him from going there. The only days of the year that Jackson doesn't shoot are Sundays, because we like to respect the Sabbath day, and then we have to be in a Disney park for him not to want to shoot. So other than if we're on a vacation somewhere else, he's all, find a park and a ball, and I'm shooting. And it's not worth our energy to stop it.
Right.
Passion. He has to shoot every day. Disney parks are the only time we've ever been successful in stopping it.
And you said you're in...
This is in Liberty Lake. We live right over the border of Idaho and Washington in the Spokane.
Okay. All right. So you're in Idaho. So there's not a Disney park, you know, that you can just jump, skip, and hop over to on a regular basis. So
we only go like twice a year. So it's not often. So he's shooting 350 days of the year.
Right. Wow. That's incredible. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play this.
This is a full size court. It's a half court area. My wife zooms in. Awesome.
And just drains it.
Shooting. You know, 100,000 plus people have viewed this video and made a lot of comments. And one guy said, that guy in the background didn't even get happy or celebrate. And the reason is because Jackson will sit there and hit 20 or 30 of those in an hour. And the people in the club, like secondhand to them, they see it all the time. They see the wobbly kid that can knock down big time jumpers.
That is so cool. And yeah, absolutely. When I saw that video, I thought, oh my goodness. And then I can't remember exactly how you worded your post, but just the fact that he was doing it. And I guess you must have said something in your post about him having cerebral palsy.
Right.
And that's
my son is living proof that we can do anything. Hashtag cerebral palsy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is so key to this show is, you know, the hashtag no limits is I'm a former special education teacher. And so often when I would talk to the families of my students, they would tell me how people, whether it was teachers, family members, therapists, doctors, not that they were always verbalizing limits about their child. But there were those who did that. It was just in their behavior and their attitude that the family members felt that people were placing limits upon them. And when I think about some of my students and where they were when they became my student and where they were when they were not my student anymore, I tried to always have that philosophy. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, positive or negative, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I don't know what kind of medical breakthroughs or scientific breakthroughs or miracles or things are just suddenly, you know, going to connect that weren't connecting before. And so I'm rational in my thinking, but I'm also not wanting for people to have this idea that, oh, because of A, this child can't do B through X. Because there are so many abilities that everybody has, no matter if they have some sort of a diagnosis or a label of something that might be a hindrance to something.
So that's very interesting. I just wanted somebody to tell me anything, but nobody was telling me no limit that, you know, I might even been okay somebody placing a limit. I didn't know anything. And so we just approached it, okay, just do everything. And so the first obstacle now that I remember was tying shoes. Jackson still cannot tie his shoes. His hands, you can't get close up in that video, but his hands at a relaxed state look like they're stressed. They are like this and pointing down. And if I put push on him, you know, it's a strain. Mm-hmm. That's how he is in a steady state. And he can't manipulate to tie the shoe. He's had great teachers like the one I talked about and several others who have promised they could, oh, I could teach him to tie a shoe. And my wife is, you know, has her degree in education, and she thought so. And of course, I thought I could too. But no, 17 years later, he cannot tie a shoe, but he can shoot a big time jumper. He can, in Special Olympics basketball games, he doesn't get caught up in the moment. So he's part, if you go to my LinkedIn feed, you'll see I have a picture where I was one of the coaches of a team in Texas. His team won 3 state Texas championships.
I saw that.
In big moments of the game, in overtime, they'll go to Jackson. He'll hit a jumper or free throws and not think a thing about it. Because he, like he said, I got ice water in my veins, Dad.
That's incredible. And yeah, I did. I'm glad you brought that up, because I would like to talk about Special Olympics at some point. Whether we want to talk about that now or later is okay with me. Because I think people also think one particular way about Special Olympics. And their Special Olympics, from when I had gotten involved over 40 years ago, no, not that long ago, 30 years ago, I'm not as old as I was trying to make myself out to be, it's not just one sport one time a year or one event one time a year. They do things all across the year, and they have all kinds of different sports, and they have all these ambassador programs, and just, it's an amazing program. So I would like to talk about that and how that has helped him and impacted him as well. I do, as a teacher though, I want to go back to talking about his education.
Okay.
And I'm so thankful for that kindergarten teacher, because as a former teacher myself, those are the kind of teachers that I believe we should all be. That, you know, we all need to find what's the ability, what's the priority. I presume that he had an IEP, an individualized education program.
Yes, we've done that several times.
Yes. And so, you know, so often when somebody gets an IEP, it's like, well, okay, you know, this is all they're going to be. There's not a high enough expectation. And a lot of the general education population then just sort of writes the person off who has the IEP. I mean, it's not a forefront of their mind kind of thing. It's just that bias that I talked about before that people have. So I'm glad to hear you say that you had a lot of teachers who were helpful to him.
Very much so. And all of them have picked up on what Kathy taught, the basketball team. That, to me, Jackson, if he wasn't so painfully shy, he would have joined us. He just way out of his realm. So, but he is a chatterbox, particularly when you're talking about basketball. So if you were here in person, he'd be chewing your ear about basketball, telling exactly that he is a 3-point specialist. And I was on from 3 yesterday. He has a tip. I have to say things over and over again. You have to say, I hear you, Jackson. You're wrong. But all of his teachers picked up on that basketball theme and have adapted his education in many years to basketball. So they'll teach math through basketball. We've had teachers do that. So he memorizes all because of the basketball games he plays on video game, the years players were drafted. And you can say obscure players, and he'll tell you, drafted in 1996, averaged 22 points a game. And so some teachers pick up on that, and they'll teach him that way. He has to care, right?
Yeah.
About what he's being taught. So if you can make it that way, he'll learn better. And many of his teachers have done that.
Yeah. And Jilly Denon. Denna, sorry.
My daughter.
Oh. Okay. So that popped up when you were talking about him talking my ear off if I was there in person. So, and yeah, you know, that's such a key component in education. And I'm very happy to hear how many educators did that for Jackson. Is you find what they love and you use that to help them build their strengths. And yeah, I mean, my gosh, there are so many skills that you can learn through basketball for math, for language arts. And, you know, I mean, he could have written anything and everything that there was about basketball for every single assignment he ever had.
Right.
You know.
And he does often.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very glad to hear that. And it's
see how you could transition, you know, what he, because he clearly can memorize things he cares about. Mm-hmm. Say, Jackson, do that for history, you know. I haven't seen that happen, but they certainly could.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you could tie basketball, like, okay, in 1996 when so-and-so was drafted, what was going on in the world?
Right. That'd be great.
Yeah. So most of the people that I talk to don't have such positive experiences with their school system. And so I'm so excited to hear, and especially because you have moved several times.
Yeah. It was best in, our best experiences were New York, Columbus, Ohio, and then in Texas too. Texas was really good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's so exciting. So how does he get along with his siblings? Obviously, Jilly says she agrees with you that he talks a lot.
Yeah. I keep getting emotional talking. And kids, if you're watching, you can chime in with comments. But so very well. He's a very close. The other three kids, he doesn't like contention. So any kind of contention, he hates being shushed. Even a group shush that's not directed at him at school will set him off. But now, I don't know what's happened in the last 4 days ago. I think I'm over the shushing. I'm all, really? So I'll tell him. He's like, well, I don't like the finger at the lips.
Okay.
So, but he's
that's interesting.
It is interesting. But the kids, when they would fight, Jackson would often come and say, hey, stop, stop, stop. And he'd make everybody hug and end all quarrel. His older brother, Kobe, who's 3 years older than him, yeah, that's a bond that will never end. They just love each other. Kobe, one of the most comments we got with our children growing up was the love that Kobe would have holding Jackson's hand to the school bus.
Aww.
Our neighbors that didn't know us would write to my wife. So that's
awesome.
And he loves to, even though he's older now, he's still, his favorite thing to do is snuggle up to his brothers and sisters. So when we go visit Jillian and Reagan, he's still big old, 6 foot. One guy snuggling them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that's awesome. And so is he still at 17? Is he still in school?
He is. He's a junior.
Okay. And so what are his plans for when he finishes school?
That's still kind of up in the air. So, you know, we would like to keep him in a, you know, some kind of continued education program. It's hard for me to know right now if, you know, I can't imagine him in the workplace yet because emotionally, I think there's some disconnect, you know, some like that shushing, or if anybody came at him hot at all, I think it'd be over, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, plane or something. It's like, it'd be hard for me. You know, I've often dreamed of him being like something like, because his smile will warm the room of 1,000 people.
Oh, wow. So, that's a beautiful sentiment.
It would be, if he was a greeter at the Disney parks, you know, where they wear the Mickey hand and giving high fives to people, that's probably a perfect job because he's setting the tone for their day and he's happy. And so something like that is probably, he wants to be because he loves basketball so much. And while we were in Houston before I moved and we were going down the road with that IEP process and everything about, he wants to be an announcer for the NBA. We're going to go start partnering with the Houston Rockets. You know, he is slow of speech, but there's things that he could have learned, like he could be, you know, a statistician. And so that's still out there, too, because of his great basketball knowledge. So that's where his interests lie.
That's awesome. So
those things happen.
With his speech, and you said, you know, kind of, well, first of all, we didn't really describe this very well at the beginning. And I apologize to anybody who's watching that I didn't catch this before, but with the cerebral palsy, what exactly does that mean for him? You said he had the hypotonia.
Yeah. So he's very flexible. So at a young age, when he was like one, I could take his foot and pull it over his head and lay it flat on his head.
"Oh my stars!"
And he just laughed, and then I could even pull on it. You know, he's that flexible. He sleeps even now. His comfortable state is sleeping completely in half, like a clam. Completely in half, and that's his comfortable. So when I check in on him at night, I move him back just because I think he's uncomfortable looking, but he's comfortable sleeping like a clam. I could pick him up like that and put him in a suitcase, and he'd be comfortable. Yeah. So Soleil, maybe. No.
Right. There you go. Well, I presume this is your wife, because you said her name was Nikki, and this person is Nikki Garrick. She says he would like to serve a mission for our church someday, like his siblings did, but as a church service missionary, so he can live at home.
That's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he has a lot of, like I said, he's a chatterbox. He has a lot of dreams, and that can happen 100% in serving a mission. Anything's possible.
It really is. And with making any kind of accommodations, you know, today in today's society, there's so many assistive technology devices and just so many more opportunities now than there had been. And again, that's the kind of the title of the show, and why I have that is because we don't know what's possible. It's kind of dawned on me here in the last couple of months that so often we tend to stop our creativity because there's already an answer to something. And so we're like, oh, well, I've thought about this for however long and there's already this out here, so I'll just settle for what's already available. But we don't continue to think outside that box then and continue to try to develop something else sometimes. And so thank God there are those people, though, that do have that drive and that mentality of, okay, this is here and it's okay for my child or my life or individuals, but I want to go here.
Right. Well, my whole life in marketing is test and measure. That's my approach to everything I do. And so one time, as we started in Special Olympics, Jackson, how you enter is a skills competition. And that's what they had him do, just shooting little shots, doing some dribbling and some running, right? Uh-huh. And you're competing against others. And in that first year, he did great, right? He won the gold medal.
Yeah.
And then the next year, the coach, he was nervous because Jackson was so young compared to the team. The team has adults and teenagers that don't have the same physical problems. So they're running around still just like Jen is. And he was nervous to get Jackson on the team, even though Jackson could shoot. And I honestly don't know. Knowing me, I probably had a little sinister thought. His practices, and I was with my other son, Kobe, and after the practice, we would play around with Jackson like we did at home, which is pretty rough. You know, I'm not scared to bump Jackson, and neither is Kobe, and play tough with him and play up on him. And the coach saw how we played, the three of us, and he said, "Oh, Jackson can be on the team because you guys are much harder on him than we ever will be." So I like to think that I was testing that coach, but I honestly don't remember how I was thinking about it. But I'm grateful that that coach saw that, because that gave Jackson a world of confidence once he got on the team.
Right. Absolutely. And it does. It does take sometimes that outside force to see things differently for us. And you know, again, I'm thinking that that coach probably had a limit that he felt was safe and had placed that limit on him. And you guys just blew that right out of the water. So on that note, what other sorts of things, like, I was just thinking, you know, we didn't really discuss it. You said it, we just kind of kept going. But when they gave him that diagnosis of an intellectual disability, can you remember what sort of thoughts that you had at that time, positive and negative?
Every thought I had probably initially was negative, because I was like, woe is me. What does that mean to my family and to Jackson? Like, and so intellectual disability, such a broad term, it gets broader to me every day as I meet, you know, that's the great thing about Special Olympics. I've met hundreds and hundreds of people. If you haven't gone to Special Olympics, go and get 1,000 hugs.
Yeah.
But anyways, that term is broad. And That compounded with what you're experiencing, because he's slow of speech, he's hard to understand, particularly when he was younger. So you'd be in a group with the rest of your family, your extended family, nobody's understanding him. I did, because I'm used to it.
Right.
You have to translate for him, and he really is trying to talk to you guys, and you know, and so that's gotten better, obviously, over time with the speech therapy in school. He still will have his moment. But it wasn't till, and we talk about Disney a lot, but my wife and I were at Disney World with Jackson and the rest of the kids, and we were getting on Spaceship Earth, that ride at Epcot. Mm-hmm. And you get on and it's got the floor is moving around. And another family with a child with cerebral palsy is in a wheelchair. And we've got the talking, they had cerebral palsy, and he was completely rigid, and they had to do everything for him, pick him up out of the chair. And I said, Nikki, you'll never complain again.
And I'm going to share what Nikki shared here in just a second. And I thank you for sharing that. And I can see, you know, how touching that is to you. And I wrote a book a couple of years ago, and it's where I interviewed families who are in some way a special needs family. And in the book is a gentleman, his name is Michael, and he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And he has been wheelchair bound for, and I apologize to my friend, Mark, who told me, because he is also in a wheelchair. He says, I'm not wheelchair bound. Okay. And I apologize. And I can't remember the way you told me to say it correctly, but anyway, he used the wheelchair as his mobility. And, Michael in the book, his mom said the same thing, that, you know, she would be at a park with her son and hear a mom yelling at a child because, you know, he was running too far away from her, or he was climbing the slide instead of the ladder, or, you know, something like that, that those who have typically developing children worry about, but those who have non-typically developing children think, oh, if I could only have that to complain about.
Different mindset.
Yeah. So Nikki says it was heartbreaking to get that low IQ score. The educators could only tell us that they didn't know what that would mean for him in the future, but that he would always be our sweet Jackson. And yeah, Nikki, thank you for sharing that. I hoped that as I taught my students, that I had that expectation, like, you know, I actually taught Michael. And I remember, because he had zero speech, and one of the things that his mom told me is that she just wanted to hear him say, I love you, Mom. And so we tried to get him to be able to do that on a communication device. His speech therapist worked with him very diligently as well to try to make that happen. But sometimes we take things for granted because they are our norm, and we often need that reminder that it isn't the norm for everybody.
I remember also at that time, because my sister-in-law had a child within a month of Jackson, and it was hard for me to watch her progress in relation to Jackson.
Yeah.
And I talked to a man the other day who's in that same boat. And I had forgotten that I felt that way, and he reminded me. That was very helpful.
Yeah. And I so appreciate that you are sharing your journey now, because there are so many people who are just starting the journey, or who have been on the journey similar to yours for years, but they feel alone, that there isn't anybody else out there like them, or that they can't reach out to anybody. Nobody understands their experiences. And again, that's another reason I'm so thankful that you just allowed this stranger in LinkedIn to to invite, you know, have you on to the show, and that you're coming on, because I want people to feel connected. And you have had, because of sharing this video, amazing feedback that you never anticipated. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's been 100,000 plus views, might be up 200,000. I don't know. But, and thousands of reactions and, you know, hundreds of comments and some direct messages to a couple of gentlemen that I've had phone calls with since, and, you know, that their children were just born recently, asking, how did you help Jackson get to shoot like that? And what did you do? And they're bringing back a flood of memories of how I was doing. So that's been probably more helpful to me than my life, to them. But so that's been good. And then Jackson, all those comments, I mean, people all over the world, the Middle East are writing, what a great shot, Jackson. You're better than Kobe Bryant. And that lights him up and he loves that. And you guys, you want to do something nice for Jackson, go follow him. I think it's a private account, but he'll accept it if you write something nice. At NBA Chickens is his Instagram.
So, oh, okay. At NBA Chickens. All right. So is it?
It's Jackson on Instagram.
All right. So yeah, let's look up Instagram and then we're going to put at NBA Chickens. I'm going to put this in the chat. So hopefully people can look it up and they can follow him, because I'm going to be doing that, especially if, you know, I love basketball. I grew up around basketball. My parents helped run a basketball program pretty much my whole life when I was living at home. And I had weeks where I would watch 60, 70 basketball games in a week, because we were running tournaments and I was young and they didn't know what to do with me. So they brought me along to the gym.
It's so fun. I my whole life. I love it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about, I kind of skipped over it because I didn't want it to be too heavy for you, but I do want to go back to, you know, his education a little bit. And when you were told, so I'm guessing that it was the school that were the first people to tell you that he would struggle academically.
Nikki, if you have anything to say, write it. But some doctors might have said something like that, but it was definitely Kathy enlightened us in kindergarten about everything. And I don't recall her saying, you know, when she really dismissed me, that's how it was. And I'd had very little interaction with her. I'm sure my wife had a lot more. But I don't ever remember feeling Jackson being limited. Everything related to his education is he gets to do that. Like, he's been in Greece, you know, in the play Greece. He's been in.
Oh, with wow.
Ed kids. He's been in. I've never felt like he's been placed in a limited capacity. I always feel like it's being extended through his education. Like right now he's doing pottery at the high school here in Washington. Mm-hmm. So Nikki says it was the kindergarten screening where we got the ID diagnosis.
Yeah. And that sounds about right, just from my own knowledge and experiences with education. Because typically you don't get that sort of a diagnosis from a doctor. It's not even actually, I say it's a diagnosis, but I guess technically it's just an eligibility for special education. And because in the education world, that's really the only place that IQ, intellectual quotient, comes into play outside of the education world. I mean, you don't go around talking to your family about, oh, well, what's your IQ? Oh, what's your IQ? You know, I mean, it's just not a thing that comes up. And so what sort of, and I like that you said it, that, you know, they didn't really seem to place limits on him. It was just, oh, he gets to do that. He gets to do that.
That's always been my perception of it. And my wife can say differently. I'm sure there's been moments of frustration, but mine has been like, oh my gosh, he's doing that. That's great. I felt like that. And I know there, I particularly remember Ohio, you know, a lot of after school sessions after school with the teacher and the aides. I've always felt like everything, you know, at first, you know, when from ages 5 to 10, you kept hearing about, should he be going to summer school, which I know you're big on, I see your post about, is there a regression? I think he experienced that for a little bit, but typically not, right? And he'll just start the school year and be, he doesn't regress. And so I've been grateful, but I was always sensitive to it. Nikki, is he regressing? Is he forgetting everything? Is he starting over? You know, and if trying to assess where he's at right now. So he's a 17-year-old who thinks 17-year-old girls are hot. but he's equally fascinated with Disney's cars. So that's probably my best description of where he's at.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I am at this. And it's funny that you mentioned that the extended school year and the summer school thing, because my husband just told me the other day, he's like, you got to start talking about other things, because like, that's all you talk about. I said, that's all I'm talking about this month, because we have to talk about it now, because if they're going to do extended school year in the summer, we got to get a plan out there. Right. So he'll be very pleased that he was right, because you had also said that, you know, I talk about it a lot. So
well, that's marketing. You got to get at least 8 perceptions out there.
Yeah. And that is kind of, I didn't tell him the exact number, but I said, yeah, no, it's got to be that I'm constantly putting it out there, because then, you know, every time somebody else sees it that didn't see it before, but the people who saw it before might see it 8 times. So
logically, nobody takes an action until they experience something 6 to 8 times.
Really? Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. We are going to have to talk off screen. You're going to have to share some more of that insight with me. So let's talk a little bit about Special Olympics and how long you've been involved with it, all the different things that Jackson, is he just basketball or are there other things that he does?
No, that's the great thing. And we had to force him because his love is basketball, but he's done bowling, track, which he does not like, but he does it. Tennis, golf, volleyball. Did I get them all, Nikki? I think I'm wrong. Yeah, it's all year, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Not just one. And then they'll have the tournaments, right? So you're doing at the state level. And so, you know, we would go to a state level basketball, state level bowling. And it's so good. And especially in a big market like Houston. So a lot of kids, and you get to travel with the kids and stay for a weekend in Dallas with everybody, and there's dance parties and you hang out and have meals together as families. And so you build quite a community. And it's so much fun.
That's awesome.
Matter of fact, here we're struggling because I moved here in the Coeur d'Alene in 2019, and then it was quickly the pandemic. So right. Special Olympics was shut down nationwide, but it's been slow here in Spokane area in Coeur d'Alene compared to our Houston experience. So I just announced to our company, I speak to the company every Tuesday morning, and I just announced that my executive team, I'm a member of the executive team, they're allowing me to move to Utah, to move to a larger market for Jackson, to have that Special Olympics experience again. So I'm going to work remote. Just an hour ago, I announced that.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. And you're announcing it to the world right here first, ladies and gentlemen. This is where you heard it.
But we're going to get back there and get him on BYU's Special Olympics team, which is a dream of his. And that's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, congratulations. And I think that's wonderful that your company supports you in supporting him, because you don't always hear that either. And so so obviously basketball is his favorite sport and probably the one that he is the best in.
Bowling's number 2.
Okay. That was where I was going. Yeah. And so how, you know, as this person that reached out to you through LinkedIn and said, you know, how did you get Jackson to where he is today? You talked about the fact that he practiced on his own so much, and that he sort of almost instinctively had the perfect form for shooting. Yeah. But as far as, you know, playing the basketball, the eye-hand coordination of running up and down and dribbling on the court and passing and, you know, can you speak to that as well as, you know, any other sports with Special Olympics?
So I've been coaching basketball for years. So with Kobe, my son, and Jackson, we would just go in the backyard and I teach them the fundamentals of passing. So step into it and receive it. Despite his hands being awkward, he has great hands. So he catches everything I throw at him. So he got passing really good. He loves making a good pass. Yeah. So it's not just the shooting. We taught him defensive stance, and I would do defensive drills with him, sliding his feet and kind of adapting it as I could for his motion. Taught him where to be on defense. I never talked to him. Hashtag no limits. I talked to him basketball. I didn't talk to him right. after basketball. Right. So play defense, get up on your man and guard them, even if they're 46 years old, which is funny in Special Olympics because you are guarding
older. Yeah.
And so get up on him as a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, and go steal that ball. And he loves blocking shots. But I taught him with Kobe drill after drill, the fundamentals of dribbling. He's a good ball handler. I said, people are going to steal it if you keep dribbling high. You've got to keep it low. And he'll do what he wants, and I'll say, and something bad will happen in the game. I go, who told you not to do that? Oh, me? Okay. You know, he'll argue with me now because I'll say, because I don't really love that he shoots those half-court shots at practice. I want him practicing shots he's really going to take in a game, just like right. any coach. And he'll go, but you're wrong, Dad. Steph Curry shoots those. You've got to do what Steph Curry do. And I'm all, you know, how do you argue with that?
I mean, it's true. You know, you want your child to have dreams and aspirations and you know, being something great. And so, yeah, unfortunately, sometimes though it backfires on us and they go, well, no, I'm not going to do it that way because so-and-so does it this way.
And then as far as the other sports, my wife gets all the credit. She was the one driving him to golf and bowling and fighting with him because he doesn't want to naturally ever leave the house.
Okay.
But so she came up with that phrase that I can do hard things. And so that's a mantra for Jackson. You can do hard things.
Yeah.
She does.
That's incredible. And I think that it's so important to, as parents, and I don't have a child that has any sort of disability, but she does have anxiety and I deal with anxiety. And so, you know, I've been trying as she's grown up to say, it's okay to be scared about something. Push through it. Don't let it just settle on you. And because the longer it settles on you and you don't go through that thing, the bigger it gets, the scarier it becomes. And so, yeah, you can do hard things and you need to do hard things and you can be uncomfortable. I think so often we tend not, I mean, no parent wants their child to be sad or uncomfortable, but unfortunately we have to let them go through that in order for them to build different skills. So your wife says, but unlike typical basketball players, you sometimes have to physically move his body the way it needs to go to get the message to his brain on how to move. And she must have put a little emoji on there, but unfortunately it didn't come through. Just telling him doesn't always work. And that's excellent, Nikki. Thank you for sharing that. Because it is, that would be one of those steps, you know, that some other parent might need to know.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah, we do have to. And then she added, his anxiety is probably the biggest issue stopping him from doing the things he wants to do. Yeah. And I feel that one to my core because, again, I have anxiety myself. And so I know what that's like. And I think probably that's why I had that understanding because my anxiety started. I thought I was going to drown. I didn't almost drown, but I thought I was going to drown at a swimming lesson situation. And I absolutely refused to go back to that swimming situation. And now that was 43 years ago, 48 years. I don't know. I can't remember now. I can't do math. It was a long time ago. And it's still to that day, that swimming pool where I took those lessons causes me to, because that's where the memory is. And because I made it so big and I didn't tell my parent what was going on. And therefore she didn't, you know to help me take small incremental steps to face that fear.
Yeah.
And so I think that actually has helped me with my daughter be like, nope, we're not, you know, if you're scared of doing something, we're going to do it and we're going to walk through it together, but you are going to get through it because I don't want it to become this huge elephant that sits on you all the time when you think about a particular situation.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you said swimming. I didn't mention swimming, but that was the last one he did. And you remind me of her, of the coach. But she would just, you know, Jackson didn't want to know part of the pool, really. She grabbed him. She was a big personality. Grabbed him, walked with him until he got comfortable swimming. I remember seeing her up, back, and forth. She just grabbed him and took him. And that, to Nikki's point, that's what it takes. And she moved his for him. And so, so many people have helped us. And I guess I'm just mostly filled with gratitude.
That's so fantastic. And I love that. And Nikki, I so appreciate you sharing. And I wished I would have thought to ask Greg to invite you onto the show, and we could have had you with us this whole time.
We'll do another session with her.
Yeah, I could. It would be really interesting, actually, Greg, because as you've said a couple of times, your perception about things and your wife's perception could be very different as far as
on all every topic in the world.
Right. Well, yes, that is true. But specifically because, as you said, she was the one driving him to all the different events and all the different practices. And she probably interacted more with the teachers and the school systems than what you do. And so, her experiences might be very, very different. But I'm so thankful that you shared what you did, because if I look back, your episode 84, and if I looked back, I have probably only had a handful of dads that come on and talk about their experiences. Maybe one and a half handfuls. And it's just, I don't quite understand why that is the dynamic. If it's that dads don't want to be vulnerable, and I appreciate you being vulnerable on here today and showing your emotions, because to me that shows how much you care. And it is very important that other dads see that, because yes, it's extremely difficult on the moms, but I think sometimes the dads, it's a different difficult, because there aren't other dads talking about it as much and sharing the things that they have felt and that they've gone through.
Yeah, it wasn't until weeks ago that I, in 17 years, ever said anything.
So, really?
So that it was because that guy asked me. The Special Olympics parents, what you talk about is just fun thing. I never get into this kind of thing. And so to hear people that are starting the journey and asking me questions as if I'm an expert, all I did was experience it. This is the first time.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that it happened when it happened, so that you could come on here today and share his journey and your journey. And so we're wrapping up. You thought you wouldn't make it a full hour, and we're at 53 minutes. So I do want to start wrapping up with you. And I want you, if you can, to tell me the proudest things that you are when it comes to Jackson.
I just like when he listens to to me, you know, and tells me, because he'll get in a rut where he'll just, it's a tick that he has as part of the diagnosis, I suppose. Nobody really has to explain it, but he'll just get caught up and keep saying the same thing over and over and say to him, okay, but let's just talk. I've acknowledged that. Mm-hmm. Did that. And when he talks to me about how he's feeling, that's probably the most proud. What is the most difficult is when he realizes his special needs and asks why.
I could see that.
And, because of my faith, I have some answers. But, I don't know that words are never sufficient.
And
he understood. And that was when I was close.
And Gina Waterman, she was actually a guest several months back, and she said that she thinks it's, oh, that's the wrong one. She typed one first before that. Dads typically don't have the kinds of natural supports that moms do, disability support groups, PTA groups, et cetera. And it's great that you're being transparent and vulnerable. She wishes every dad could and would see this. And so thank you, Gina, for sharing. She's saying she's going to share the episode because I do think it is an area that isn't addressed, that dads need that support too. And we do truly just have a couple minutes left. And I've so much enjoyed chatting with you and having your wife join us via chat, and your daughter. And hopefully someday, you know, I'll get to meet Jackson and get to experience the joy of Jackson. And I can barely make a free throw, so I know I could not keep up with him as far as 3-point and half court shots.
Guess what? He'll teach you. He loves teaching people to shoot.
That's awesome. See, that could be like you could have a private tutoring business for him to do that. So, Greg, I do want to give you the opportunity, as I told you before we came on, that, you know, I always ask at the end, is there anything else, or do you have words of encouragement, or is there something that you wanted to say today, or you thought you would say that you haven't done so? Please do that now.
We covered it all that I thought we would talk about. Like I said, I'm not that interesting. I didn't think we'd make it to an hour, so I'm shocked. I would encourage everybody to donate to Special Olympics. Go to specialolympics.org and donate. It's a game changer, and you can do anything.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And again, I so appreciate you being here. I appreciate all the guests. If you're watching this in the replay, make sure that you give us a hashtag replay. And if you have any comments or you have any questions, make sure you put those in the chat and I will make sure that Greg gets them or sees them. He started following the Facebook page. So he'll probably see them on his own anyway, but I will definitely make sure that he sees it. Greg, thank you. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for sharing. And as Gina said, for being vulnerable today. Your son's story is incredible. And I'm so thankful that you allowed me to be the platform for you to share his story fully for the first time. But I think you're going to share his story a whole lot more after that video and after today. So join me next week when I will have Stephanie Klein on, and she is a fellow master IEP coach like myself. And she has a couple different children with diagnoses and eligibilities for special education that she will be talking about all of the limits that they have busted through. Thank you, everyone, again. Greg, thank you for sharing. We will talk soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.